A reading from Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The right hand of God, the right hand of the king, the right hand of the Pharaoh. This is the place of honor. The one who was seated there at the right hand had all of the power and all of the authority of the king. Likewise, the one at the right hand of God the Father has at his disposal all of the might and the majesty of that one which is eternal, just as he is eternal. Our hymn today reminds us that the right hand of God has won for us the victory. And for this reason, for this victory, and for our knowledge of that one who is the right hand of the Father, we give thanks. We sing the first verse of hymn 378, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. The strife is o'er, the battle won. We live in the great 50 days of Easter, but our hearts remind us that sin and death are still around us. The calendar says May, but the weather reminds us that we are living in someplace else. Waiting for the glory of the sun, which will bring life and light again to this frozen, cold, cold world. Life under the banner of Easter is a life of victory. But we recall in this world that we must still bear with us the burdens which Christ carried to the cross. Our sin, our death, and of course the power of the devil are still strong. In one of our forms of confession on page 41 in the hymnal, we say, our sins are a grievous foe which we should hate in every way. And whenever we hear that sentence, we wonder if indeed we hate those sins enough. And of course, the answer is we don't. And we can't, because our will is still bound to love sin. We sing now verses 2 and 3 of this hymn, and we will use the tune to hymn 452. There are very few combination of verses in our hymnal that display and explain the Christian situation and the human situation as clearly as those two. The next verse reminds us of one of the great mysteries of Christianity, that God has seen us, has seen the whole picture, even before he spoke those words, "Let there be light." And love was the motivation for that command for light. Love is also the motivation for God's attitude towards us. Verse number 4. When God the Trinity resolved, "Let us make man in our own image," likewise that Trinity resolved to save man. In the next three verses, we enter into that most holy place, that place of conversation between God the Father and God the Son, in which the eternal plan of salvation unfolds in time for those of us who are bound by the time of our own lives. Verses 5, 6, and 7. We sing to hymn number 129, verses 5, 6, and 7.
Thank you.
the foe shall not divide us. That's an amazing word of promise, and a word that reminds us that the one who makes the promise is also the one that fulfills it for us and in us. In the next verses, we come again to that climactic moment in time when Christ, the right hand, the right arm, the victorious right arm of the Father, calls out, "It is finished." And we are also reminded in these verses that the fruit of that finishment is ours by grace in the church, where Christ has promised to be present with his word, where he has promised to be present in the sacraments of baptism and his supper, and where he has promised to be present in us and through us as we speak his very words to one another. And it is in this way that we rightly learn to praise the Father. The words of praise that come from us are nothing more than the words which he has already taught us. "What I have done and taught, teach thou. My ways forsake thou never. So shall my kingdom flourish now, and in this teaching, God be praised forever." We sing now verses 8, 9, and 10, and we use the melody of hymn number 320, and you may stand.